Very good evening and welcome to Sunset Gospel Hour. Well, we now come to December, the last month of the year. This is a time of the year which everybody recognizes. You start to open the newspapers, you see all sorts of pictures in the advertisements. You see reindeers, you see snowflakes, Christmas trees, also juxtaposed next to nativity scenes, a manger, a baby, the silhouette of Jesus and donkeys, and camels, and all these different scenes. You walk through the supermarkets, the shopping malls, you hear strains of jingle bells and deck the halls, alongside songs that we are more familiar with, like Joy to the World, and even Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The world kind of knows what this is all about. They kind of had the idea that, well, this is the festive season. They say season greetings. They say Merry Christmas. They use the name of Christ. They know that it is about Jesus and it is a Christian holiday. But it is also a season which has been very mangled by the world. It is now a commercial thing where businesses, retailers, they all wait for this Christmas season because, well, that's when sales will hit an all-time high. As much as the world does all these things, it is still a very important period for Christians, for believers. Because we are told to hark, to listen. To what? To the message that the angels gave to the shepherds that very night. To the same message that comes to all of us. The most important message ever to be given. The story of Christmas, of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Of God becoming man, Emmanuel, God with us. So important, so crucial. So wonderful. And so tonight's message, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it is really a call for all of us to listen as well, isn't it? Because that's the meaning of the word hark. The world may just sing it because it's a nice tune. They may just enjoy the melodies that are associated with Christmas. But for us, as we examine the words of the hymns of all these Christmas carols, we know that these are important messages for us to listen to. And that is what this command comes to us as. A command to listen, to open your ears. Why? Because there is something very important for us to listen to. The herald angels, the messenger angels are singing. They are crying out, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And this is something that we all have to listen to as well. The message of Christmas, the message of the gospel. The same message that was brought to these shepherds 2,000 years ago are just as important, just as relevant for us today. Sadly, it's a message that few people bother to listen to anymore. They listen to the songs. They look at the pictures. But they don't really understand the words. The scene is set for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 to verse 20. We are familiar with the scene. In that same country, that means in the region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds. They were going about doing their task. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. But yet, of all the people in the world at that point of time, God chose this group of shepherds to receive this message. Who would hark? Who are the recipients of this, of the message of the angels? They were none other than these humble shepherds. Poor shepherds, as one of the songs that we sang just now. They were no one high or reputable in society. It was a very simple job. A mindless task, you may even say. To just sit and watch over the shepherds by night. What more is there to do? You just sit and watch, isn't it? Well, maybe when the thieves come, well, you have to defend them. But by and large, it is a very, very boring job. It was a job that Moses had for 40 years in the wilderness. It was a job that was relegated to David because he was the youngest in the family and the father didn't even think that he was fit to be part of the selection when the prophet Samuel came to them. Oh yes, by the way, I do have one other son. He's just out there in the field keeping watch over the flocks. That was all they were, humble shepherds. You know, you would think that if God wants to announce this message that Jesus Christ has come to the world, this message that God is here, the Messiah whom you are waiting for has arrived, he would have chosen the high, the noble in society, isn't it? The more influential. He should have chosen the Pharisees, isn't it? They were the religious leaders in the land at the point of time, the strictest abiders of the law. Oh, he should have chosen the Sanhedrin council, the ones who were in charge, the high priest. But no, the message didn't go to any of these people. They were ignorant. They were not even watching. They were too caught up in dealing with their own politics, in ensuring that their lives were adhering to their own law and the people around them. But they were not interested in the coming of the Messiah. Not at all. In fact, when they finally heard that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, they did all in their power to stop it. But this message came to who? The simple, faithful shepherds. They were believers. Because when they heard the message, when it was announced to them, they responded in a very, very wonderful manner. They knew what these angels were talking about. They knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. And with eyes of faith, they were looking forward to this momentous event in history. The same message comes to us this evening. The same message has come to us in some time, point of time in our lives as well. We heard the same gospel. We heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how are you going to respond? We are the simple believers, isn't it? We are not reputable or high and mighty in society. Maybe some of us are. But all of us are alike in the sense that we are the faithful, isn't it? Well, I pray we are. I hope we are. And that same message comes to us, and the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? They were the recipients. We are the recipients as well. When the angels say, hark, listen, open your ears. Same command comes to us. Hark, listen, open to your ears. Do not carry on with your lives and just going about the same routine over and over again. And very quickly, the sound of the word of God is drowned out by all the things that you are distracted with. No, we have to continue to hark, to listen, to open our ears. But what was the message about, you may ask? What was the message? Verse 10, the angel of the Lord came about upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Yeah, there was cause to be afraid. But then right after that, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What was the message about? In fact, it was the best message, the best news that could ever have been given to men, the message of Jesus. Literally, this line, I bring you good tidings, literally it is, I evangelize to you. I bring you good news. I bring you great joy, mega joy. I bring you a piece of news, a message, which will stir in your hearts excitement. It should stir in your hearts this great, overwhelming joy. Why? Because this is what you have been waiting for. This is what the world has been waiting for. This is the single most important event in the history of mankind. Because without this advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, without Him coming to this earth to become flesh for us, man has no hope. We are lost in sin. But the angel told those shepherds that night, I evangelize to you. I bring you this good news. There is no better news than this. It is great joy, fantastic joy, amazing joy. And this joy is something which will be to all people. It is open to all. This is the universal good news that was given to them, that is given to us. What news? That Jesus Christ has come. And all people can benefit from it. The gospel is open to all. Not just the select few. Not just to the Jews at that point of time. No, it is open to Jews, to Gentiles, to everyone. Everyone can have a part in this wonderful, glorious message. If there is but one thing that you will learn in your lifetime, learn this. That Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners like you and me. God became flesh and He took upon Him the sin of the world. He was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This is the message that was given to the angels that very night. And it goes further in verse 11. It is a universal good news, but it was a news that came in fulfillment of prophecy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is something which the faithful would have well understood, because this came in fulfillment to many of the prophecies which they would have received throughout the Old Testament from all the prophets. Like the verse that was read to us just now, the call to worship, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. And right here, the same thing is said in verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Straight away in their minds, where they've been triggered, all these thoughts. Is this the Messiah? Is this the one whom all the prophets have been describing? Because later on, they will go on to say that he will bring on earth peace and goodwill to men. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the peace bringer. He is the one who will be able to reconcile God to men. He is the Savior whom we have all been waiting for. Another prophecy that will spring to mind will be Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been of old from everlasting. The city of David. What is the city of David? Because it was, even at the point of time, just a rather small, obscure village. Not even a city, by our standards. But just a little village. So full it was that evening that not even an inn could be found for them. There was no room, no lodging. And he had to be born in a manger. But nonetheless, by the providence of God, by the perfect timing of God, he was born in the city of David. You realize that Mary and Joseph, they were not residents of Bethlehem in a sense. It was by God's timing, at the point of time, there was a decree from Caesar Augustus to say that you will have to be taxed in your own city, in your home city. And so everyone had to journey back to their own city. And Mary, she was with child. It was greatly inconvenient. Why would they have to make such a hazardous journey? Because the decree came and they had no choice but to obey. And so by God's timing, they arrived in the city of Bethlehem that evening. But there was no room to be found because everyone else had gathered back in Bethlehem. Maybe many people had originated from there. But by now it was just this small, insignificant city. But yes, Mary and Joseph, they were there. They were of Nazareth, but they had to go back to Bethlehem. It was a long journey from the Galilee region up north, and they had to journey down all the way south, Bethlehem, which is a small city nearby to Jerusalem. But they were there. And they will remember this prophecy, that yes, Bethlehem Ephrata, although you are just a small and insignificant city, the Savior will be born there. He will be a ruler in Israel, the King, Jesus Christ. And again, they would have remembered the city of David. Why? Because Mary and Joseph, they all can trace their lineage, both of them, back to David. You can see the genealogies described in Matthew and Luke. And so that was another prophecy which they would have remembered. And there and then, this message was given to them. Yes, Jesus is come. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Who is he? He is a Savior. He is the one who will save you from your sins. He is the one whom the world has been waiting for. Why? Because he is the Christ. He is the Christos, which is the Greek equivalent of Messiah. He is the one. Jesus Christ, Jesus. And they had all been waiting for this. All the faithful Jews and the shepherds, they were part of it. They knew and they understood that this Savior has come in fulfillment of prophecy. And so there he was. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In the most unexpected of places. In a most humble setting. In a manger. Surrounded by animals. God became man in that place. That was the greatest act of humility, isn't it? For God, while he was surrounded by heaven's glories, to come down to become flesh in this earth. And that's what Paul tells us, let this mind be in you, this humility of Christ. Who, he was God, he was in the form of God, he did not think that coming to this earth, taking upon him the form of a servant, being fashioned in the likeness of men, all these things, it's okay. I am willing to do it. I am willing to come to this earth to be like one of them, to be a man, to live a life, to die. For what? For you and for me, for sinners. Why? Because he is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the chosen one. And when they heard it, they would have known, yes, the Messiah is come. Let us go. Let us go and see. Let us go and worship him. And there was praiseworthy news to be heard. Because right after that, verse 13. So what we see here was there was first one angel, a head angel of sorts. And he was the herald. He was the one bringing the message. And after he delivered this wonderful, fantastic piece of news, this universal news that came in fulfillment of prophecy, and suddenly with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so just as the angel finished his message, there came a heavenly host, a host of angels that came down and surrounded him. And they all triumphed, in triumphant praise, declared this message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It was indeed praiseworthy news. The news of the century, the news of the millennia, the news of mankind. Glory to God in the highest. Is that not our response when we hear all these things? To know that yes, Jesus has come. To know that God has become flesh. To know that God is with us. Will we not also stand up and sing out loud, glory to God in the highest. Praise. Praise to God. Is that not what we do every Sunday as we come into the house of God? We sing all these praises. In praise of what? In praise of our Savior. In praise of God and all that he has done for us. And all the many ways in which he has blessed us. He didn't have to do all these things, you know. He could have just left us in our sin. He didn't have to make all these arrangements. He didn't have to give all these prophecies. He didn't have to provide a way of escape for us. But he took it upon himself and said, yes, I have pity on you. You are my children and I will buy you back to myself. I will redeem you. I will send my only begotten Son. He will die for your sins and you will receive salvation. And when we hear all these news, what is our response? The angels, they heard it. They did not have a part of it, you know that? Angels cannot be saved. Angels do not have the ability to repent and to be redeemed. Once they are condemned, once they fall forever. But yet when they heard this news, they recognize the significance of what is going on. And they too join in the chorus to say, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because there is peace on earth. Not peace in the sense that the world is talking about. Not that sort of world peace. Peace in sense of what? Peace in a sense where through this birth and through the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, man can be reconciled to God. Whereas there was enmity. Whereas man, because of all his sin, had become enemies of God. Now there can be peace. Now there can be unity once again. God and man can coexist. Why? Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ will do. And this is indeed goodwill to man, isn't it? The best thing, best ever thing that God can do for man. And it is happening right now in that point of time of history where the angels announce this wonderful message to these humble shepherds. A glorious message. A wonderful message. A message which all the faithful Jews have been looking forward to. And now it was announced to this simple, humble band of faithful shepherds. Now, what was their response? They had heard the news. What were they going to do about it? We see their response given to us from verse 15 to verse 20. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us." They knew who the messenger was. This was a greatly unique, special event. It was not just an everyday occurrence. No angels from God had come down to us. They said it very clearly. This is what the Lord had made known unto us. They recognized its significance. They didn't just sit there. They acted upon this message. They responded in a very fantastic, very wonderful manner. Because when we say, "Hark, the herald angels sing," listen to what the angels have to say. It is not for us just to sit there and then 1 year in, 1 year out, well, it's a nice message. Well, good, nice to know that, well, this Christ has come, nice to know, and glory to God and all these things. What was their response? To hark does not mean just to listen and ignore it. It means you listen and understand and then act upon it. They had understood. They knew what the angel was talking about, and now they acted upon it. They responded. How? Firstly, they say, "Let us hasten to go see the Lord." Yes, Jesus Christ has come. The Anointed One has come. What are we going to do about it? Well, we're in Bethlehem, aren't we? We're just nearby. Let us hasten. Let us go with speed to go and see. And so they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And you realize that they didn't really have much information to go by. They weren't told exactly which inn or which manger to go to. They didn't know who was this Mary and Joseph. They were strangers, right? And all the simple news that they had was that you will find a baby lying in a manger. That's all. But they didn't stop and say, "Well, give me more information." Or, "How do I know you're telling the truth?" They didn't stop and say, "Well, you know, wait for morning, it'll be easier to find these things." Or, "You know, I'm still watching over my sheep. I need to find someone to take care of my sheep for me before I go." No excuses. They responded instantly, without delay. "Hark, the herald angel sings. The message of the century has been given to you. How are you going to respond?" "Oh yeah, that's nice. That's nice to hear about Jesus. Well, it's good news. I agree with you." Not that sort of response. Instantly, "Wow, we have heard. The Lord has come to us. The angels have announced to us. Let us go." And so they came. They made haste. And how they found the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not know. They could have gone from inn to inn knocking. "Is there a baby here? Is there a baby here? Ah, it's a baby. Are you Mary? Are you Joseph? Yes, we have found the Messiah." And so they came, responding instantly to the message of God. How about our response? You see, we have heard the Christmas message again and again and again, isn't it? We have sung so many carols in our lifetime. We have heard the gospel again and again. And somehow to us, this message has lost its glimmer. Maybe the first time we heard it, it was exciting. The first Christmas that we experienced as a believer. Wow, now I know to worship God with meaning. But year after year, the same thing over and over again. The same message. "I've heard this 1,000 times. Yes, I know Jesus came in the flesh. And yeah, I know He was born in the manger. And so on and so forth." But do we have that same excitement? It fills our heart to know that God has come to this earth. Jesus Christ, although He did not need to, He came for you and me. The same message ought to evoke the same response as we saw that in the shepherds that night. Let us go to Jesus. Let us come and sit at His feet. Although He is just a baby, and I am a full-grown man, but I know that He is God. And I know He will be the Savior. I know He is the Christ. And let us go and see. Let us go and find out more. Let us go and see this Mary and Joseph and this babe lying in a manger. We have heard. How do we respond? Again, they didn't stop there. And so they made their way to the manger, and they found the child. And they sat there, and they communed probably with Mary and Joseph, and began to learn more about how this birth was announced, how He was born of a virgin, how He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, how the angel had appeared to Mary and Joseph as well, announcing what this babe would be all about. And as they heard And they learn more and more. They realize that indeed, this is the Messiah. Indeed, this is a message and news worth spreading abroad, because that is exactly what they did in verse 17. After they had heard, again, they then just stopped there. They reacted and they acted upon this message that they had received. They alone were the ones privileged to receive this message. You realize that? As I said earlier, no one else heard it. Yes, Mary and Joseph heard it, but they were the parents. But now this group of shepherds, they received this news from the angels. What were they going to do about it? Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went, and they became the first evangelists of the message of the Lord. Just as the angels appeared to them and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." They understood the message and they said, "Yes, indeed, this is a wonderful message of great joy. I will now want to bring this message to all the people around me." And that is exactly what they did. They made known abroad, they proclaimed this saying. Everything which they had heard concerning the child, whatever the angels had taught them, whatever they had heard from Mary and Joseph, whatever they had seen with their eyes, they went off forth and says and told everyone, "I bring you also good tidings of great joy. The Savior, the Christ, is come to this earth. Shall you not come to listen as well?" And this is a wonderful opportunity that we all have as well. We may not be the first evangelists, but we do not want the message to end with us, isn't it? Someone brought that message to you. Someone shared this Christmas cheer, so to speak, that Jesus has come to this earth to save your sins. Will you not then go and bring this message to people around you? We have heard the announcements just now. There are various activities organized in church, especially around this period. Why? Because this is a wonderful opportunity. Because at this point of time, people will be more open and more receptive to coming to church. Oh, it's a Christmas event. Why not? Come and listen. Come and hear the good news. We have the AF Gospel Rally. We have the Christmas Cantata, which is also a nativity play put up by the young people of the church. And through all these events, the gospel message will be preached. You have the invitation card. When people come join us for our Christmas party. Come, end of year party, New Year's party. Come join us, you know, to have drinks after work. Oh, let's, you know, have some Christmas atmosphere. Or you can counter with your own invitation. Come and join me in church this Saturday, this Sunday. Come and hear what Christmas is all about. Come and hear about my Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save sinners. That is what the angels did. Although they were the humble in society, they did not fear. They were bold. They went forth and they proclaimed. And result of that, all that heard it wondered at those things. Wondered, not meaning they were puzzled or they did not know what really it was talking about. This word has this idea of marveling. They marveled at all that was told of them. That could it be? Is it true? That, yes, really, the Messiah has come. And I'm sure it would have provoked some of them to go back and think about the scriptures that they were taught from young, to think about the prophecies and realize that, yes, the timing is right. The situation, the circumstance seems to be pointing to this fact that the Messiah is come. The shepherds believed, and later on you'll see how Anna and Simeon also believed, and the faithful Jews would have believed. Those that were sincerely looking for and waiting for this glorious day, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they received the news, they spread it abroad. Will we do the same? Because that is what Christmas is for, isn't it? It's not just for us to have those gatherings, those parties, not just an opportunity to go and shop and enjoy the Christmas sales or to buy gifts for our people around us. Yeah, I mean, these are part of it. But that's not really what it's about, isn't it? It's not Christmas. Christmas is really about what? The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about the fact that He came. The date may not be accurate. We don't say that it's exactly 25th December. We don't know. But it is a season set aside by the church to say this will be the time where we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming to earth more than 2,000 years ago. Will you not use this as an opportunity to bring the gospel, to the people around you, to your friends and the loved ones. Share them concerning what Christmas really is all about. And so finally, verse 20. And after they went abroad preaching the gospel, they returned. But didn't stop there, because they continued to glorify and praise God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Just as the angels, when they heard the news, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." They too responded in like manner. When they had gone and seen and verified the fact that indeed there is a babe lying in a manger, exactly as the angels had said. And yes, we have recognized that this comes in fulfillment of all the prophecy. The natural response, glorify to God, praising Him. Why? Because of all that He has done for us. And that ought to be our response. Not just during Christmas, but every day of our lives, isn't it? Because the life that you have, this newness of life that you are walking in, the gospel that you have received, it ought to elicit such a response. Yes, I will praise and glorify God with my life. Every day of my life is a day where I praise the Lord, where I glorify the Lord. And you can be assured that these shepherds, after they had heard the message of the angels, they looked at life with this new excitement to know that we are living in that point of time where Jesus has come to this earth. We are the privileged generation. But we are a generation that are no less privileged. Yes, we may not have Jesus in our midst, but we have that same salvation that was wrought for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. We have that same privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear the message, to hear what the angels have to say. If we have received this message by faith, will you not then live by faith for the rest of your life, praising God, thanking God for salvation so rich and so free, for every blessing that you have received in your life, because it is all worthy of praise? That is what all these Christmas carols are about. They are songs of praise, songs of worship, glorifying God, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ for all that they have done for us. This is what worship is all about. This is what Christian living is all about, glorifying and praising God. To show to the world around you that yes, you have believed in the gospel and you know what it is all about. And therefore my life has changed. I am no longer the old me. I am a me who understands who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and I will live my life all for the glory of God. That was the response of all these shepherds, where they received the message, they understood, and they responded in a most wonderful fashion. And then the question comes to us, how will we respond to the same message? The command comes, you listen, you hark to the herald, to the herald angel who sings. We all know what this message is all about. We have received the word of God. Now how will you respond? Will you be like the shepherds, to go out, to run to Christ and see Him and sit at His feet, to receive His word and then to spread it abroad, and then to live a life praising and glorifying God? Or will you carry on in your own mundane life? No response, no reaction. Gospel? Well, yeah, it's good. I'm going to heaven. I know that. Really? Are you sure? Because if you have truly understood the message, if you are truly a believer, this will be your response as well. Where this excitement swells up within you to say, I will want to spread this news abroad. I will want to live my life in praise and glory to God. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed we thank Thee for this wonderful, glorious event which we read of 2,000 over years ago, of how the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to live and then to die for us and to rise again on the third day. We thank Thee for this gospel that we have heard, that we have believed, and help us, O Lord, to respond in like manner as the shepherds, to go forth to preach Thy word, spread Thy news abroad, to share this wonderful good news, especially during this Christmas period. We thank Thee for the ministry of the Sunset Gospel Hour. We pray that Thou continue to keep the pulpit faithful, proclaiming Thy word, especially through this month and the cantata hit, as thy gospel message is preached, we pray that many will come and hear and listen, and likewise to believe, to repent of their sins, and to turn to thee. We thank thee and praise thee for this passage that we have read through and studied. We pray that thou help us to indeed hark to what the herald angels have to say. We thank thee and praise thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In closing, let us turn to the very hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.